critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
I'm Brandi Crawford. Are you?
We are your TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And Brandi, we're kind of in between seasons, but we're back after a long while, kind of off the mic. How are you feeling? How are you doing?
Honestly, I'm feeling great, okay?
Oh, good.
TV has been giving, giving, and giving. I honestly have no complaints. And I feel like I finally reached a point where it's like, I know how to watch TV now. It took a minute as I was figuring out my children going to school and me like having a job, but I've now kind of figured out like how and when to watch things. So like, I'm actually keeping up with shows now, guys. It's a big thing.
We love that. So the Brandi try to and move on is no longer the vibe?
No. I still try and move on.
Okay, the Brandi twofer still exists.
But I am now like, you know, I'm finishing stuff.
I love that.
Yeah, it's feeling good.
And we've had a lot of shows that have recently finished, actually. So we're recording this on Tuesday, May 30th, just a couple days removed from a flurry of finales, both season and series. We're talking Barry, we're talking Maisel, we're talking Yellowjacket, Succession. So it's the end of a lot of shows. So we felt like this was a good time to do one of our kind of recent TV check-ins. What are our best? What are our favorite shows of the year to date? We normally do this a little bit earlier, Brandi. We normally do like an April springtime thing, but the nature of the TV schedule this year, there was just too many high dollar blue chip shows in the middle of their run. So we decided, you know what? Let's push. Let's do what the Emmys do. And just kind of wait for all these things to wrap up around the Emmy deadline, which I think is like, as we speak, it's the end of this month. So a lot of great shows are just ending their run. And it felt like a great time to check it on the year this far, see what we've really been loving. And to do that, we thought, let's bring in a returning guest. There's no one better for this sort of TV catch-up. Returning guest, she's been on a number of times detailing her own criteria, a deep dive into The Sopranos, but this is her first time joining us for a recent TV catch-up. Please welcome everybody, Darren Karp.
Yay, Darren.
Hey, yay. Hey, guys. Good to see you. TV is my favorite thing. So hell, I'm so yeah. Lucky to be back on here to break down basically the first 6 months of just what I am. Just TV is just firing on all cylinders these past few years. I just feel like TV are better than movies, and there's a reason for that. So I'm down.
Wow. You know what's funny? I was actually just listening to a podcast that was describing that shift of how TV used to be the mindless entertainment and film used to be where creators went to take chances. And now it's totally flipped. It's totally flopped. And the things that we get
totally in
the movie theaters, a lot of the times, or on our streaming services or on Netflix, film wise, are very much like background for a lot of us. Whereas TV is like where people are really doing the work, putting a lot of the analysis and a lot of the cultural conversation is in the TV landscape. And to your point, this year is no different. How much TV have you been watching the last 5 months or so since the year started, Darren?
I feel like I watch everything. It's probably hard. I did like the Oscars coverage for E! And like the concept of watching all the best pictures was like daunting to me. I was like, I can do this for the Emmys. No problem. I've been doing this. But like I can watch 8 hours of something on a television show, 8 episodes of Love is Blind. No problem. But if you're like, hey, can you sit down for 2 hours and 15 and watch Triangle of Sadness? It's like, can I? Like, do I have the time? I don't know. So, I mean, I think there's a lot more creativity that can happen in television because let's take a Housewives, for example. You're watching that. You don't think about it, but you're watching that for 6 months of the year. You know,
right.
18, 19, 20, 24 episodes of something is half a year. Whereas in movies, it's like an hour and a half. Is it good or is it not? And that's where the decision is going to lay. But a TV series might start off slow and end with a banger. So there's just more opinions. There's more things. There's more chances to be had in television.
Yeah. And then you get things like some of our favorite shows, like A Challenge or A Survivor, where you get 2 cycles in a year. So really, like, there's very few weeks where you don't
that's
have some
enough.
Of these shows on there. Right, exactly.
Not enough.
I mean, I have
not
to
enough.
Say what I love about Bravo scheduling is that like I am always with a housewife.
That's what we want to happen.
I'm always in a new city, so I'm always there. It's kind of like I work on a show called The Food That Built America, and they were talking about how we were doing a show about Costco and stuff and how these membership places make their money on, like, well, we will kind of give the membership away for free, and like, but you have to keep coming back to get the cheap prices on the groceries. And that's how I feel about the Housewives. That's my parallel.
That's kind of true. Sometimes you can be in three cities in once.
And sometimes I'm like, is this too much? Is this too much right now? Right. I'm like, no, we will be adding Summer House Martha's Vineyard to the mix. No, it's not enough. It's never enough.
Right. As long with regular Summer House, we don't end. Yeah. We love a reunion on top of a reunion. We just love it.
I mean, speaking of explosive finales, I totally neglected to mention one of the most explosive of the year, which is the Vanderpump Rules finale of...
Still happening, my friends. Still going on.
Well, the filmed, like, the episode, like the season, right?
Finale episode did air,
but we're still in
we're in the midst of a three-part reunion. But
that's the good thing about a Bravo show, is that the reunion really is like an extra episode of the season.
Oh, truly.
Like, it really is included. Like, yeah, everyone was like, okay, yeah, I want the finale, but then people never settled on that. Like, it's not one of those shows where you're like, yeah, I can skip the reunion. Like, the Love is Blind reunion, and I'm sure we're going to get to that a little bit when it all glitched out on Netflix. After watching it, I was like, merp. It didn't add anything to me. Bravo reunions add to the storyline that then take place for the next season when we film. So it really is like, that's why I don't consider the finale until after we have aired all the parts of the reunion, because we have three parts to our reunions. Like, it's crazy.
Wait, one thing before we go into the shows, though. Is it fake news that Elizabeth Holmes is in the same prison as Jen Shah?
Is that right?
I actually don't know if that's...
Is this a Dumois? Is this a comments by celebs? I don't know. I just feel like I saw it and then I did, but I didn't Google it. So don't take my word for it, but like, I hope that's true.
Kind of like when Mike, the Situation was in the same prison as Billy McFarland's, and like our brains exploded.
It just goes to show that like reality TV stars, man, like a good percentage of them are in prison at any given point in time. And we're just like watching that go down. And that's a reality TV in its own right. It used to be just Martha Stewart, you know, it used to be just that. But now it's like, oh my God, Jen Shah is mixed with this person, mixed with this person. It's like, well, we got to get the cameras rolling in there. Like, it's crazy.
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. Shall we get into it, friends? Shall we start naming our best and favorites? So the way it's going to work today, we're going to keep it a little bit loose, but all of us have brought our three best and three favorite shows of the year so far. So we're not doing a full BFF best favorite forever. A little bit tricky to do so with more recent TV fare, although some of these shows I think will absolutely be in contention for, you know, potential forever slots down the line. But yeah, so we each did three best, three favorites. We're going to start kind of and go around the horn, just kind of each lobby up a show that we want to talk about and where we put it in our list. I have a feeling that there's going to be a significant amount of overlap. So we each have six shows to share. And then at the end, we'll touch on, you know, some honorable mentions, some things we're looking forward to. But let's get right into it. I think we would be doing a disservice to TV fans if we didn't jump into what I think is the hottest show on everyone's mind right now. And that is Succession.
Succession.
So good. Still shaking. Loved it.
The finale aired just a couple nights ago. The season 4 finale, also the series finale. It was a 90-minute finale. I had it in my best of the year so far, and I don't think anyone can argue against that. Where'd you guys have it?
It was also one of my best.
It was also in my best. At first, I had it in my faves, but then I moved it to my best because, I mean, I'm excited about Succession every single week, and I think the hype of it is great, but it wasn't one of those shows that could necessarily be in my favorite. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be rewatching Succession in the same way that I've rewatched The Wire, Sopranos, 6 Feet Under, Veep in the same way, but I just thought it was very, very well done.
So at this point, guys, I think let's really get into it. And I think, like, full spoilers, if you have not caught up with Succession, but you really can't talk about and the ending of this show without spoiling it. So, Darren, what were your thoughts on how it all came together?
Yeah, I even yelled at my mother who like had to wait, like she was exhausted from traveling. And I was like, Mom, what are you doing? Like, get up and do this right now. Why are you talking to me? The reason Succession made it to my best, and I waffled between it being my best and my favorite, was I think the show was obviously very well done. I think it shows quiet wealth. I think we've all sort of talked about it. Everyone's really obsessed with it. It's not the type of show that I ever feel like I'm going to rewatch. So if we were kind of doing the normal BFF, it's not something that would be in my my forever. Mm-hmm. But the hype around it, everyone was really wondering what was going to happen. In terms of the finale, I think it put a bow on everything that could have been put a bow upon, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to root for any of them because they're all irredeemable. You know, like none of them really make sense. Even if I thought the entire time that I thought Kendall deserved it because he was the most fit for it, I didn't want him to win. And I don't know if you guys felt that way, but it also, I thought this episode brought something that we haven't seen in a while, which was a lot of levity between the siblings. You know, we kind of forget that they're
honestly,
like,
my favorite part was just seeing them just being fun with each other in the kitchen. And like, there was no ulterior motive going on. It was just like, this was like, I kind of saw them as like teens almost. And that was the most human that that any of them have ever been. I felt in those moments, like with Roman licking that cheese.
The good cheese.
Yeah. That was like, I hate Roman so much, but it was really fun to watch. But I actually, you know, 10 minutes prior to that, you know, when Shiv is basically like, I'm fucking you. Your guys are getting fucked. I'm going to be this. You know, you guys stole this from me. I'm taking it. And then a split second later, she kind of finds out that, you know, Mattson is fucking her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kendall takes on and Roman take on this big brother role. You know, they don't kind of like laugh at her in their face. They're like, come under our wing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, let's tackle this together.
Sure.
Like, I thought it was a really good example sometimes about how blood is thicker than water.
Well, yes and no, though, because it is until it isn't, right? Like, and we've seen earlier examples
of
Kendall and Roman being like, you know, can Shiv hang? Do we loop her in even after they promised that they would, right? So I think that blood is thicker than water for these people when it serves them in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that at the end of the day, and I disagree with you, Darren, like when you're like, you know, Kendall maybe should have got it. He was the most poised. He was the best choice. I don't know if I agree with that. I think that this story has kind of been about three kids who were never up for it, who never deserved any of it, who were never good at any of it, and just deluded themselves into thinking that they were. Like Roman says at the end, we're all bullshit.
Mm-hmm. And bullshit.
We're none of bullshit. Them. And I think Shiv maybe didn't get to that kind of crystallized like self-awareness that Roman did. But I think in her gut, she's like, my brother would be terrible at this. Yeah, Mattson's a raging sexist and is a fucking asshole, and you know he's picked my husband, and that's, you know, gonna grind my gears forever, and is my relationship salvageable, who knows, but even that is better than my brother running this thing. Like she couldn't even stand him, she couldn't stomach him.
You think that's why she did that though?
I think that it was part of, if I can't have it, then neither of you guys can have it, and also if it's gonna go anyway, at least it's with my technically on paper who I'm having a baby with husband. And
my baby daddy.
And I think she has proven that she's most effective counseling people in the position of power. So maybe she thinks, all right, at least I can be close to the power. Maybe I have some down the line juice here. Whereas if it's Kendall, he's already throwing his feet up and promising chairmanships to Stewie within 10 minutes of his siblings giving him the gig. And she's like, well, this isn't going to go well. Fuck that.
Well, and him firing Jerry. No one thought Roman was able to do this.
He's
Roman the least capable.
Roman never had a chance.
No, I agree with you, Darren. I do feel like that everything did get wrapped up. I feel like we see, I feel like each of the characters realized who they are. Like you see Roman as he's like drinking that, like, it's like everybody's just kind of like, this is it. And I feel like you never, and I don't think that that means that they're going to change.
No.
But I do like, but you never really see people like understand who they are. You know what I mean? And shows like this, like, because it's so easy to make these characters just so, and not even like one dimensional, but just so like one thing, like we're just concerned with this. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know. I feel like I saw the human side of all three of the kids. And in seeing their human sides, like really saw why all three of them were so unfit to ever be able to do this. And that it wasn't even, and that it wasn't really their fault. Like they came from they never had a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even with Logan, like he wanted them to be killers, but just they couldn't kill him. He's like, kill anybody, but they're in his own house. So it was like very complicated. Like he raised them almost to never be a threat to him himself, but then was mad at them and disappointed them that they couldn't be a threat, that they couldn't take on the job. Like it was this paradox that no one was set up to win. They're all set up to fail.
Well, that's, I think it was last season or two seasons ago where we end with Logan smiling when Kendall kind of fucks Logan over is like, that's what he wanted to see, you know? Yep. But I do think the finale ended with a full, and it's not a 180, it's really a 360. If we really think about how they started, right? Like Shiv is kind of in this loveless companionate relationship that she's out, you know. The good thing I liked about Shiv is that Shiv should have just stayed in her lane. She's amazing at politics. Like, I think she actually was so good at doing that. And then she got caught up in her own family drama. So she just like steered out from her lane. Roman is going to be the same like drunken child that he always was, kind of debaucherous. And like, that's how we see him end. And Kendall is a tortured soul whose entire life is defined around his father and not living up to his father and what his father thought of.
His father promised him at 7. That's going to fuck you up.
He's the eldest boy.
Right. And like him saying that, I was like, you're reverting back to your childhood trauma. You know what I mean? And he started that way, kind of being this drug addict and then recovering from the drug addict and kind of gaining the respect through his father to the end being forever haunted by the fact that he's just never going to be his father. You know, like that's defined his entire life. Like while there has been kind of these peaks and valleys of growth, they all ended exactly where they started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, and the creators talked about this in kind of the wrapping up afterwards. It's like, this is the end of their story as far as we know, as far as the cameras know, but their life goes on. Right. Mm-hmm. So it didn't have a sense of finality, which I didn't mind. I actually like that. Mm-hmm. I like thinking that these people are going to continue living their lives and what is that going to look like? In fact, I was listening to Mark Mylod, one of the main directors who directed the finale. And the way he described Roman's arc was really in the grand scheme of things, he was like, it was 2 years. This is 2 years of Roman's life. This is basically a detour. And now he's back kind of where he was before, you know, like drinking playboy, fucking potty mouth, with just kind of doing his thing back in LA, perhaps like
sitting in like weird places,
right?
Awkwardly sitting,
awkward, saying awkward shit, weird shit, you know. And in much the same way, I think that they killed off Logan is the same way that we kind of leave these characters, right? Like life happens, things are sudden, things change on a dime, and life still goes on afterwards. You know, that's what I kind of liked about it. Is it almost didn't feel like a TV show. It felt like a reality show that we just had privilege of getting to watch these people. They didn't need to wrap everything up in a bow because life isn't that way. You know, like people die and you don't get to say goodbye. You know, people make these decisions and you don't get to have that final thing. And you have to spend the rest of your life dealing with it. You know, like pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. And these people just kind of suffer. And they don't know how to deal with it because they're children. They're just children looking for their dad's approval at the end of the day, no matter how much fucking money they have.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's the thing too. We're all like, Kendall, oh, he didn't get it. Oh, poor Kendall. Dude just banks like $2 billion selling the fucking company to Madsen. He's fine, you know?
But also I will say, outstanding question that I have is, what's going on with the PGN? Didn't they just, is somebody going to be the CEO there? Like what's happening there? Because I guess in the scheme of things, they just bought it like last week.
Right, exactly. So Succession, a unanimous best pick across all of our criteria.
Correct.
Brandy, what's the next show you want to talk about? Throw one out there. Best or favorite?
I have my other best show. So I actually just had two best shows because my other shows, they were either kind of like, they didn't like quite live up to being best or they were favorites. But my two best shows were Succession and Vanderpump Rules. I just think that, and this is the thing, I work in reality TV. I've worked in reality TV for a very long time. The finale of Vanderpump Rules is one of the best produced. It was one of the best produced episodes of television I've ever seen. I loved it.
Wow. I mean,
everything, like it did everything for me. Like I told my team the next day at work, I was like, if you guys haven't watched it, you should.
Wow.
Well, Vanderpump Rules is in my best. It's in my favorite. No, it's in my favorite. Not in my best.
At first it was in my favorite, but then I had written in parentheses, but it should be in my best because it slayed. And then I was like, you know what? I'm moving it to best.
Just do it. I love it.
Wow. I mean, so I might be a little bit more judicious in my criteria because, like, obviously I work at Bravo. I'm a fan of Bravo. I've watched Vanderpump Rules. For me to be best, it's like the best produced, like, I feel like it's a favorite because it just captured the nation, you know, in a way that, like, I remember exactly when it happened because Chris Rock's special had come out, Selective Outrage had come out that weekend, and the Vanderpump Rules, like, headlines, because I was doing the Oscars the week after, took over everything. So that's why it's kind of in the favorite. It's just that, like, especially if you've been watching all along, mm-hmm. like, it is just so good. But in terms of, like, production, I was just like, you know, it's hard for me because it's a great show, but they shoot scenes, you know, and maybe it's because I'm a little biased because, like, my girlfriend does Below Deck Mediterranean, and that is, like, so well thought out. And you're not shooting scenes. You're literally have, like, 24/7 cameras on, and you, like, create, you know, like, the story kind of breathes itself. So in terms of, like, being a TV industry person, I totally get why it was in your best. But for me, it hits in my favorites just because of the zeitgeist of it all. Everyone was talking about it. Scandoval itself is like its own fucking term. People get heated. Businesses were ruined. Lives were ruined. They're still being ruined. So it's in my favorite for this year, but not in my best in terms of production value.
Well, and I feel like all of those reasons for, like, the fact that, like, Scandoval captivated the nation, and that finale yes. gave me everything I needed. From that scandal, I get Ariana's yeah. perfectly poised outrage in that conversation with her and Tom on the couch.
I'm curious to see, you know, part one of the reunion as we're recording this is out, but part two airs tomorrow. So I'm curious to see what you think of all three of the episodes. I've got to say, I have kind of a hot take on the reunion that I do feel a little bit bad for Sandoval sometimes how the reunion is playing out. I wouldn't date Sandoval. I don't think he's a good boyfriend. I think Raquel is a bad friend. But I think it's a really interesting psychological study about how a lot of people are calling Raquel a whore and a homewrecker and all these terrible things that people say about women. When the only thing I think you can really accuse Raquel of is being a liar and being a bad friend. But, like, she wasn't the one who cheated, you know? And, like, Ariana was the Raquel kind of. When Tom cheated on Kristen Doty, even though they weren't best friends, like, and I think Andy even said it in the first reading, he's like, everyone here except Katie have cheated. You know, James Kennedy, like, him calling Tom Sandoval a worm with a mustache. I'm like, James Kennedy, you're kind of a bad person yourself. Like, I wouldn't date any of you guys.
I mean, it's why I can't get behind Lala, because I'm just like, Lala, like, no. No, like, you're like, I feel like they're like this is Ariana's cross to bear.
Right.
And they are all, and it's just like, obviously, I mean, that's why they're all perfect for reality TV, because they're so, the narcissism is real, but, like, it's like, this is Ariana's issue. Like, she's dealing with this, but, like, now it's, well, you know, he's Randall.
The entire, and that's what we want for it. So, like, the selective outrage of the fandom, of the toxic fandom being like, we're going to ruin your business. We're going to ruin that. I'm like, then you're taking the show way too seriously. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I don't like about it in terms of the fandom of it. But I agree that best or favorite, like, it had to be on the list. It just had to be. Like, it's such a great show. It's a great show.
You know, it's interesting. I could totally see Vanderpump as both a best and a favorite. Favorite for all the reasons we mentioned, just kind of like, I feel like you get that sort of vibe from a lot of the Bravo shows, right? But then also, Brandy, to your point, what I was astounded by from a best standpoint was, like, just a turnaround, right? Like, scandal break and cameras are up and finales are crafted. And it was known in my office and throughout all of the TV watching circles as, you know, the reality TV Super Bowl. You can't be the Super Bowl of reality TV if you're not at least approaching a best or certainly a favorite. So. Mm-hmm. I think appropriate where you both put it. I love it.
Yeah, it's really a testament, I think, to Bravo, but also that show where you know, in theory, you can go to Sir and, like, be in the storyline.
Right.
You know what I mean, Brandy? Yeah. Like Jax could have slept with someone who was just like, a patron of Sir or something like that, you know? And that's kind of the beauty of Vanderpump Rules. And I think that this whole thing kind of reinvigorated it, but it does feel like it's a reality show. And social media has really, really changed it, where it really has made us a part of, like, fans can be a part of the show now in a way that we never could before, in a way that we're not really part of Jersey Shore. But in Bravo, it's so real. And these people are just being famous for being themselves that you really can feel like it's a part of their show. So I totally understand why it's in your best category. It does it like kind of no other.
It really does.
All right, Darren, what's the first show you want to talk about? Pull from either your best or your favorites.
Okay, I still have two best and I have still have two favorites. I'm going to go with a best because we just discussed one of my favorites. Jury Duty is in my
so good
best category.
Darren, I had this. It's in my favorites.
So I think the reason that I put it, so Kate, so the fact that it's in your favorites, Dan, is like a testament, I think, why Brandy and I had Vanderpump in different categories, right? Like, it obviously earned a right to either be in a second place or earned to be in a best and favorite. But the reason why I put it in my best and not my favorite is the same reason that I put Vanderpump in my in my favorite and not my best, because I actually think like Jury Duty was really, really good, but the way that they actually executed it, the finale, but basically in the finale, like they explain everything that they really did and how they accomplished everything that happened. It's not really a spoiler, but like everything kind of comes to light. And especially for being someone who's in reality and who loves television, the fact that they were managing to do it and the fact that they pulled it off, and you kind of see the mistakes that were made and happened all the time. I just feel like it's such a well executed mockumentary, and that's why it's in my best.
Yeah. And not always mistakes either, Darren. Like, one of my favorite parts in that last episode was when they realized that Ronald. So if you haven't seen Jury Duty, quick premise is, imagine going to Jury Duty, and it's presented as a documentary about Jury Duty. And we meet this guy, Ronald, and he's one of, you know, 12 people that eventually get called to be on this jury. But the hook is everybody else is an actor. Everything else is set up. Everything is...
The case is fake. Everything's fake. Everything's fake.
Yeah. It's Joe Schmo meets the rehearsal. You know what I mean? It's it's really, really excellently produced and set up. But inherent in that premise means it is a, you know, 24, however long they're in that courthouse, basically 24 hours a day, because they end up sequestering them in a hotel. Everyone at the hotel, everyone at the bar they go to, everyone at the courthouse, they're all actors, but that means they're on all the time. So, and you never know what Ronald's going to do or say or think or know or what his experience is.
Or
so
stay.
Like on day three, when he's like, oh my God, I love Parks and Rec. And then all of a sudden there's someone who played a small role on Parks and Rec in the cast. And then all of a sudden they have to be like, dude, all your storylines, I'm sorry, you can't do them, because if you have too much FaceTime, Ronda might recognize you. And then the whole thing is fucked. So I'm sorry, you need to sit and be quiet for the next 2 weeks. And it's wild that that's kind of how it had to shake out. But because of that, to your Darren, I could absolutely see it being in a best. I put in my favorite because one of my criterias for a favorite is, what am I recommending to other people? What can I not stop talking about? And that was Jury Duty for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best show I've ever seen, but man, if I wasn't obsessed with it, I rewatched it a second time. I'm getting other people into it. I'm watching with other people. Like, I was so obsessed and also just so genuinely heartwarmed by the end of it, because you think a lot of these prank shows, it can go Impractical Jokers, or it's a little bit more, not mean-spirited, but you're pranking people, right? This wasn't a prank on Ronald. This was like they referred to him as the hero, and he really was. And for that, I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think just how it went down, I thought was absolutely fabulous. You know, I was talking to my mom about it, and I was like, Mom, you got to watch this show. And my mom watches reality with me. She watches a reality show that I'm going to bring up kind of next, is one of my next categories that she absolutely loves. But she, as she's watching it, she goes, I don't know how convinced I am. And I was like, what do you mean you're not convinced? And she was like, I feel like Ronald's an actor. And I was like, no, Mom, like, he's not. Like that's not the joke. Like, the mockumentary isn't on us. Like, the mockumentary is like on him. And she's like, no, but I really feel like I've seen him before in another thing. And I was like, but you haven't. And I was like, I was trying to convince her. I was like, the Truman Show is on him. I was like, he's not Jim Carrey. He's Ronald, whatever the hell his last name is. I was like, that's what makes it so good. And she like wasn't convinced that it could actually be real. And I was like, no, that's why it's so good, is because it is actually real, you know? And the best part is at the end, obviously they reveal to him, you know, what went down. And he was like, the worst part is that I still have to serve jury duty if they ask me, like, this doesn't count against my neck. And I was just like, truer words have never been said, Ronald. Like, come on, man. Oh, yes. Man. So true.
You know what's funny, though, is that's actually a reason that I think for me specifically, it really resonated, because I have this kind of weird fascination with jury duty. I've now served jury duty twice since I've lived in Brooklyn, once on a grand jury and once on a trial jury, literally a couple weeks ago. This show came out 2 weeks after I reported to jury duty and didn't get chosen. But anyway, I'm fascinated with jury duty. I always thought of trying to write something. If I was ever going to write something scripted, I always wanted to be like framed around jury duty or in the world of jury duty. I just think that mixture of people is so rich and raw and authentic and just inherently diverse that it's fascinating to me that you get these 12 people, or when it's grand jury, these 25 people, and they need to come to a decision. And it doesn't matter who they are or where they come from or what they think. They all need to come to a unanimous decision. And
well,
it's wild. And I'm fascinated by it.
It's why 12 Angry Men is a really good movie. And I think I've served on a jury before, and obviously I'm into true crime, but I kind of loved how moral Ronald is. You know, I really love that he's like, no, we need evidence to prove this. Like, as crazy as the case went, right? Like, as outlandish as it went, as all the other jurors went, he was sort of like, what do we know? What are the facts? Why do you feel this way? Why are you a yes? And why are you a no? And it was kind of brilliant, because that's why I think everyone really needs to not only get called to jury duty, but actually hopefully serve on a jury, because you really get to understand what it's like if you're in that courtroom yourself. And so there was also a moral aspect to it that I really, really enjoyed.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm in the minority here, but like, I don't like going to jury duty.
No, very few people do. I think I'm in the minority of...
Have you ever served?
No, I never get chosen. There's always a reason. Like the last one that I didn't get, I couldn't serve on, was because they were like, you know, have you heard about this case? And I was like, of course I've heard about this case. I was like, I love Page Six. I was like, I work in TV development. I read the New York Post every day.
No, I get that.
No, I mean, mockumentary, like Christopher Guest is like my favorite filmmaker, like in the world. And like, I love a good mockumentary, like, and I hate terrible mockumentaries. So I'm really happy that this one is so good. Like, I knew it was going to be good from when I started watching it. There's another one coming out this summer. It's not a TV show, though. It's a movie, Theater Camp. I don't know if you guys heard of it. It looks amazing.
I saw that. The trailer looks awesome.
Oh my God, I can't wait for that. But yeah, mockumentary that's done well, and also mixing with reality, and it being like, so part of it is scripted, but part of it's not, to Dan's point. Like, Ronald could have said anything. You know, he could have had a nervous breakdown in the middle of the episode and you never would have known, and you'd never have to. So just the actors always being on their toes, like, it's kind of a testament to the craft, and I really, really enjoyed it. So that's in my best category.
Yeah, it was excellent. I'm going to do one. I'm not sure this will be on either of your lists, so we could touch on this maybe a bit more briefly. My second best show that I've seen so far this year is Shrinking on Apple TV Plus.
That was in my secondary, like in the dugout, you like, know, coming almost, up to bat. Yeah, almost. Yeah.
It was in my couldn't get into.
Okay. So three kind of different. This is great. I love this. So I loved Shrinking.
From jump? You liked it from start?
I did, but it took me a long time to start watching it. It took me a minute because I was like, ugh, sad sack Jason Segel. Okay. You know, like, whatever.
I've seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Exactly. I was like, I've seen it. I've kind of seen this vibe. And then you go in and I'm like, whoa, okay. You know what it reminded me of? And it makes perfect sense. And not because the shows are similar, like plot or premise wise, but so the guy who co-created it, Bill Lawrence, also co-created Ted Lasso. And what I loved about the first season of Ted Lasso is that it felt like it arrived fully formed. Like the characters, the relationships, the dynamics. It felt like they just turned cameras on and there we were in this fully formed world. And I felt the same way with Shrinking. And I do think it was, once I started it, I really got into it very quickly. I watched the first four episodes in a night, and I didn't want to stop, but it was getting late. And I just loved how Bill Lawrence, he knows how to put together a cast. He knows how to put together people who are going to have that kind of instant lived-in dynamic that I just believed. I believed Jessica Williams and Jason Segel and Harrison Ford were colleagues for the last 5, 6, 7 years. I just believed it. I fell right into it. And I think that there's something about a Bill Lawrence sitcom that just really hits. I think he might be, until we get another Mike Schur show on the air, I think Bill Lawrence kind of holds the belt as like, he's just the guy who can really create these rich, you know, sitcoms, these comedies, these half hour shows that have real depth and real emotion. And not for nothing, I think the world would be a better place if everyone was in therapy. And I thought it also did a really good job of not just showcasing what therapy is and how it could be helpful, but also like giving it a lot of shit and poking a lot of fun at it in a lot of fun ways that I also really enjoyed and appreciated as someone who is in therapy myself. Like, I just love the top to bottom. I think it's a great show and I can't wait for it to come back.
Have you seen it, Brandy?
I watched one. I thought about going in for the second and I just haven't.
Couldn't even get up the Brandy twofer. Interesting. Okay.
Maybe I did watch two. How long are they?
Half hours.
Half hours.
I watched two. Okay. I watched the first two, which is my jam. I'm not opposed to going back in, but it's not, but I wasn't like, like, I feel like a show that also like didn't make my list, but like it was like an almost show just because I haven't finished it yet was Beef. Like from the first episode, I was like, I'm in here. I'm in. I'm going to watch all these episodes. I'm not going to watch them all right now, but like, I do want to watch all of them. And I didn't get that with Shrinking.
Yeah. Beef was on my almost list as well.
Beef and Shrinking were on my almost list. Yeah. The reason why it kind of made my almost list, I had so much high hopes, I think, because of Bill Lawrence and because I felt like the first two seasons of Ted Lasso specifically were just so heartwarming and touching. And for someone who was not a Jason Sudeikis fan, that really turned me. Like, I just thought like it was so sure. much laughing and so much crying. And so I had a lot of expectations. Plus, if I'm not in television, I wanted to be a therapist. I see a couple therapists, so I'm a big therapy fan. So I just like had a lot of high hopes for it. And it took me maybe 5 or 6 episodes to really be convinced of it, to feel like it was a really good wow. show. But yeah, it took me a while. Like, it wasn't the type of show where I was like itching to watch it every single week, you know, and I want a show to make me be like, when is it Wednesday? When mm-hmm. is it Wednesday? Mm-hmm. When is it Thursday? When mm-hmm. is it that, you know, like that's mm-hmm. what I want from that. And so that's kind of why it made my almost list, if you will.
That's fair. That's fair. Brandy, what is on your list? Because I think you've only revealed a couple now. What's another one that you had on your best or faves?
My other fave, I just love it so much. And that is Dave. It's just one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. I laugh out loud. I spit laughing. Like I choke on my food. Like he's so ridiculous. But it's also, it's just, I think it's like such a heartwarming show because he like, especially like seeing how he was at the first season, how he is in the second season, and like now how the third season is playing out. Like, I just really feel like they are super intentional in the writing and the character development in this show. And it shouldn't be as funny and ridiculous as it is. I love it.
Let me reserve my feelings on Dave. Darren, have you seen Dave? Do you watch Dave? Are you a fan?
So I know Little Dicky. I've never watched Dave, but it's funny because I was just having this conversation with someone today who's like very in the industry, and we always talk like highbrow, lowbrow stuff. And we were talking about a la Vanderpump, just like toxic fandom and celebrity culture, because one of my shows that isn't on my list, but I do think it's a phenomenal show. And it's only not on my list because it's not, the season is still in the mid season, is The Other Two, which I think does a really, really good play on celebrity and the fans of celebrity. Like, are you caught up in this season, Brandy, just where we are?
I've watched the first two seasons. I need to get into the most current season. I haven't yet, but I will because I love them.
Okay. There's just this amazing episode in this season of just like, if you're not in the industry, like you're literally invisible, and they just make everyone kind of invisible that like, and that's what she was saying kind of Dave does is in season three, is it has a really good play on not only being a celebrity, celebrities to other celebrities, but also the fans that are celebrities. So I think I would like Dave because I really, really enjoy the other two.
Yeah. It's Dave is just, Dan, I'm really curious to hear what your thoughts are. You know, I've been hyping Dave for years.
I know. Since the beginning of this podcast, Dave was in the mix for you, Brandy. So, and I, for some reason, it took me a while to get to, so I finally watched, knowing there was a new season coming out and I'm not current. I've seen the first season of Dave, and I texted Brandy about this a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I can't wait to talk about it, because here's the thing. I love Dave, but I hate Dave. Like, I love the show, but I hate the character so much right now in this moment at the end of season one. Don't get me wrong, I'm still rooting for him because it's like that, you know, it's the protagonist syndrome. It's like almost a succession effect. Like, oh, this could be an objectively bad person, but they get the most screen time. Therefore, my brain is wired to root for them, just the way it is. So I'm wired to root for him. But I do it in spite of myself. I'm like, this fucking dude, like this fucking idiot, this asshole, this fucking loser.
The show is so good because you go through that first season and you're like, who the fuck? What? Who does he think he is? Like, what?
Literally, he thinks he's the greatest rapper of all time is what he says frequently.
Season two is really about like, he's still like kind of on the come up, but like it's really about like actions have consequences. And the third season is kind of what Darren was talking about with like just what does it mean to be a celebrity? When you're a celebrity, what's it like with other celebrities? Like the cameos this guy gets are just like, I think it was either the first or the second episode of the season, but they were in Atlanta. So this season, Dave is on tour. So every episode, he's in a different city. And the cities are wild. Cool. The people in the cities are wild. And the situations that he goes through are just wild.
Nice.
He's really, really talented. And his raps are just out of control. Like, he really is a good rapper.
He really is. As much as I didn't like him, when he's on The Breakfast Club in the season one finale, and he decides, you know, not to play the weird jail song or whatever and potentially, you know, ruin his reputation and his deal. And he just like, freestyles, like obviously he wrote the episode, so it wasn't like a legitimate freestyle, but you could tell like, fuck, this dude, yeah, he's really good. It's there.
His lyrics are hilarious. There was somebody, this guy I just started following on Instagram, since I'm always late to following like the really cool like influencers on Instagram. Anyway, I'm late for this guy, but I think he really cracks me up. He's the guy who people tell him like what conversations to have on the iPhone. So it's like, you know, do Joseph when they got turned away from the inn.
Pass the puss guy. I love him. He's so good.
Anyway, he had a thing of today about Taylor Swift and about just like how insane and amazing her songs and her lyrics are. And I was like, that's how I feel about Dave.
You're a stan.
Like, it seems like it's all like surface shit. But then it's like, wait a second. You just went there. You really, like, I'm visualizing this now. Dave is one of my favorites. I think the season is almost over. If you want to check it out, it's on FX on Hulu.
I will be continuing for sure.
Yeah, I got to start it.
It's really good. And they're pretty short episodes. And like, I'm just telling you, wild, funny shit happens. And I laugh at remember when you saw Borat for the first time?
Yeah.
That's how I laugh at Dave, guys.
That's awesome.
I love that.
So, Darren, how many shows left on your, are you yet to reveal on your six?
I've got one best and two favorites.
Okay. Brandy, how many do you have? Because I have one best and two favorites as well.
I have no bests. I have two favorites.
Okay. So Darren, you're up. Reveal one of your next shows.
Yeah. One of my next favorites, it's a show you guys have never heard of before. It's called Challenge Ride or Dies. I don't think you guys are fans of the show. No, are you?
Darren, also on my favorites. Thank you. Thank you. Also on my favorite list.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys have seen it. Oh, shocking. Because you guys are the only two people I ever get to fucking fan out with this show about. Because everyone's like, you still watch that show? And I know we talked about this last time I was on, where I was like, people do not give this show enough credit. But like,
goddamn right.
Ride or Dies. And I think, Dan, we sort of talked about this offline, where this was kind of Johnny Banana's original, like, fully realized idea, where he thought about kind of how we could change it, what the next iteration of Challenge was, and how do we bring in new people to this, you know, like Laurel's best friend. How do we kind of get new talent in that are kind of equally amazing? You know, we see Casey's brother, who, I mean, let's be frank, she got all the athletic prowess in that family.
And also, Darren, I question the bringing in people who are equally amazing and go right into Casey's brother, who I don't know, had five words all season, was an absolute boring drip. But like,
Mariah, you know, like she was amazing. Sure, like she made Fessy look really, really good. You know, like they brought in really, really good people. And I just thought that season, and we always think, I mean, let's be frank, especially us three, the challenge is always going to be something we all watch. We're always going to love it. Like, even if it's bad, we're going to watch course. It. Like our level of loving that show is obviously like our barrier for entry is low. Like, oh, slap the challenge on something. Like us three are going to watch it. But I just thought Ride or Dies was fired on all cylinders this year. It fired. It slapped.
That's right. So I think you're right. Our barrier to entry is low, but our bar is high for the franchise. And the reason I think that
we know when the challenge is good.
When challenge it slaps, it slaps.
Like I'm watching it either. Right. I'm watching it either way. But like when it's good, I'm like, that's when I'm like, is it on tonight?
Yeah. And You know what hasn't been good? Free Agents. You know what wasn't good? Spies, Lies, and Allies. You know what was dog shit? The Challenge USA. You know what has been just okay? All Stars. So when Ride or Dies comes around and it's like, whoa, wait a second. This feels like old Challenge. This feels like Challenge from 3 years ago, 4 years ago, where it is like, you know, legend driven. It is vet driven, but with a really smart way to bring in new people. Now, did they bring in couples of rookies that had tenuous Ride or Die connections? Of course. It's still the challenge. They're still going to try a little bit too hard, reach a little bit too far. But at the end of the day, I thought the format was excellent. And I thought it was just the best challenge I'd seen in a number of years. And because I'll be honest, you're right. I watch the challenge every season, but it has yet to make a recent best favorite list since we've been doing this podcast. Not until this season did it really roar back for me.
I've got two theories on that. One, I think the reason it slapped this year was because of bringing in the new talent. We had the couples back. We had the drama of hooking up with people, you know, like in their later years when these people are married and they have children, like I still want to see them hooking up and throwing shit at each other. Like the challenges are good, but the house drama is what I want to see. You know, that's so kind of important for that. And number two, I mean, if you are going to pair Nani and Bananas, and you're going to pair Anissa and Jordan, and they still can't win, it ain't in the cards for you, sweethearts. Like, they're never going to win a challenge. Like, it ain't going to happen. Like, the challenge producers were literally like, we're setting you up with the best. Like, outside CT, they were like, we are giving you the best. And if you cannot deliver, it's not going to happen. It is not going to, you're never going to win a final.
Hold on. Let me ride for Nani. Let me ride for Nani.
Do you not remember when she was on the bike?
She can do it.
She can do it. No, I think she can do it. I think Bananas fucked her. And he admits it. He's like, listen, I didn't take the necessary time that we needed for that cinder block puzzle. I missed it. It's my fault. Because you're right. She needed Bananas, but because Bananas fucked up, she couldn't get there. But I think, listen, I still think Nani can do it.
They got smashed in that final, though. They got smashed by Tori and Devin.
Well, you know who definitely can't do it is Anissa.
Anissa's never going to win.
Is Anissa not watching this show? Like,
right.
Is she
literally
like all taking steroids and bodybuilding. Like, Anissa, get it together.
Run.
It's like, you got to be able to run and you got to be able to swim, guys. These are our two things that if we can't we're not going on the challenge. Okay. I don't care how scared you are of heights. You better be able to swim when you hit the water. But I will say what I loved about Ride or Dies is that they introduced us to my two new favorite challengers, Horacio and Olivia.
Oh, my God.
I was so impressed with Olivia.
We almost saw Olivia die.
We almost saw an on-screen death. Like, legit. That finale had me jumping out of my couch. Like,
she almost went blind.
It could have been catastrophic. And it was, really. And it could have been worse.
They are the best rookies I've seen in a long time, outside of when Casey first joined the show, or like when Fessy first joined the show, because those were really, really good. I thought Horacio was amazing. I was a little hesitant on Olivia because I had seen Olivia. She came from Love Island, I think. And, you know, I mean, the Love Island people are not equipped. Like, their show is literally lounging around in the sun and drinking and talking about like flirting with people. Like, they are not equipped. And Olivia brought it. And I love that they didn't, you know, even when people threw them under the bus, they're like, whatever, like, we're going to do this, you know, like, we're going to be true to our word.
They kept going in, as all the best rookies do. You go in and you earn it and you earn it and you earn it.
Mm-hmm. And they were like, we're going to earn our stripes.
And Darren, maybe they didn't reveal on Love Island that Olivia is born and bred in Alaska, and that's why she has what it takes. She's an Alaska girl.
But I was a little worried. I was like, I don't know. I mean, Horacio and Olivia, chef's kiss. Like my new favorite rookies, for sure.
Excellent. Can't wait till they're back. Brandy, what's the next show on your favorites list?
It's a new show. It's still on right now, but like it's my favorite. And that is Summer House Martha's Vineyard.
Okay. I've really heard it's amazing. I've really heard it's amazing.
So this is the thing with the show. Like I'd seen the previews for it, and like, it's a show that like I myself have tried to develop before. Access was very hard. But now I see the access they got, and I'm like, okay, so you guys didn't get access. You just got black people from the city to go in. Okay. I got it.
You know how that works.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I loved the first season of regular Summer House, and then I just like never went back in. I know that I would love it if I went back, but I just haven't. And then I saw the previews of this one. I was like, yes, I would love to see an all black cast in Martha's Vineyard. Are you kidding? Of course. And so I watched the first episode. Very underwhelming. I was like, I don't know if I like this girl who's getting all the friends together. She's kind of weird. Her husband is even weirder. Like, who are these friends? Who is this girl that brought her dog? I hate her. But like, people are giving me pieces of things that I like. But then we get to the second episode. In the second episode, they brought it home. And I was like, we're in now. We're in. This guy shows up who's like so incredibly messy that this guy is like doing like shooting, fake shooting guns with alcohol bottles as soon as he walks in, just because someone gave his room away. He just like shits in their toilet and doesn't flush it.
Wow.
Never apologized. And yeah, it's just like everybody's like so messy. I don't understand why all these people are coming. Like, it seems like more people just keep coming to the house. They're only there for 2 weeks. Every episode, there's like a timestamp of where we're at. I love it.
I will say this has been probably the show that has been recommended to me the most. And I know that I work at Bravo, but it's because Andy doesn't EP it. I'm not thoroughly involved in it as I am in the other shows, but this has been the show that has been outsider recommended to me the most. So the fact that you are recommending this, I will watch this.
It's fun people, very fun people. And it's so funny because it's like, oh, well, it's in Martha's Vineyard. And it's like, listen, I like love Nantucket. I love Cape Cod. I love Martha's Vineyard. I love all those beach reads. Thank you so much, Ellen Hildebrand and Jennifer Weiner. But like, you really don't get a lot of Martha's Vineyard in this show. They're really mostly just at the house, just like being messy. But I still just like, I love it. Especially like the layers, guys, the layers. This one girl who is like kind of the, she gets everybody together. Like, it just keeps getting peeled back and peeled back. So the first episode, you're like, oh, her man like met on Martha's Vineyard. That's so sweet. She's been coming here for so long. But then you get like she's only been here twice before. Then you hear that the reason that she knows two of the other girls that are coming is because they used to work together. Where'd they used to work? Oh, the Playboy Club.
Oh, there is.
Which, nothing wrong with the Playboy Club, but it's like, on the one hand, you're like, I just got married and I'm a wife now. I'm like, this is what I do. And like, we love the vineyard. But on the other hand, it's like, I was just like getting lit and doing cocaine at the Playboy Club.
Yeah. I love how when you can like, casual, you can see the casting map come together. It's like, oh, someone circled that triumvirate from the Playboy Club on the casting map in development. You know what I mean?
They're like, we can build a show around this. We're building a show around this. That's so good.
Oh, that's incredible. Darren, what do you got up next on your list? Best or favorite? What's left?
My last best is The Last of Us, which I finally have finished much later. But it is really good. You know, I never played the video game. Everyone had freaking talked about the show. And everyone was like, get through the first two episodes until the third episode where, you know, the gay storyline kind of takes its number. I don't want to spoil it for anyone who maybe hasn't watched it, but it's a very well done show. I had reported on it for a while. I had been watching it. I have seen sort of the comparison between the video game and the actual show, the Easter eggs that were put in there. I definitely got hooked. I was genuinely scared. I mean, like watching the show, I was scared, you know, and I had watched all 100 seasons of the fucking Walking Dead. So I had been sort of
good for
anesthetized.
You.
Wow. I know. I couldn't let it go. I could never let go, Jack. I had sort of been anesthetized to these like zombies But the way that the zombies and everything and all the CGI and everything that they had done in this, the movements, the weird, like, you know, like with their mouth, it freaked me out. And I love a television show that's going to make me emote in any sort of way. So it's on my best because I just think it was really well done. I have my suspicions about how the season ended, but all in all, I just thought it was a really great show and I was impressed with it. And they made zombies kind of cool again because I was really over it with Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's interesting. I really thought that The Last of Us was going to make my list. And I'm still kind of surprised that it didn't. And I'm looking at my list and I wouldn't change a thing because my third best show that I'll bring up in a minute here, I don't think Last of Us eclipses it, but I really, really liked it. It was probably the number seven show on my list, just on the outside looking in. I didn't anticipate it enough. I wasn't as obsessed with it to put it in a favorite like I have been with some of these other shows. But it was really, really close. Really close. I liked it a lot. I loved how towards the back end, you really didn't even see very many infected. It was really the human drama and the human horror and what these fucked up post-apocalyptic communities or people or cult leaders or whatever the case may be, you know, raiders, whatever. But yeah, I think episode three, the Bill and Frank episode, absolutely was incredible and one of the best episodes of TV this year, bar none. I would also put that the Kansas City arc, the Melanie Lynskey, and specifically the Henry and Sam of it all, and how that episode, I think it was
that crushed me.
five or six, was just so moving. But it's a show that I'm not eager to rewatch, even though I know how well it was made. I really don't want to watch it again, and that's okay with me. And I think that's probably why it would just miss my list.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. That's why it didn't make my favorite. I can't really see rewatching. And again, I just thought it was so well done, and it brought in kind of different themes that I thought were kind of passe. So that's really why it made my list for this year.
I enjoyed it. Probably not watching it again. Love Pedro Pascal. I think he looks like, I think that Malone is going to look like him when he grows up.
Ooh.
That's... Malone is my son, for those of you who don't know. And he looks like a little baby Pedro Pascal.
That's incredible. Have you found like little kid photos of Pedro and like done the side by side? Because you should.
I haven't, but I have done the side by side with Pedro and with a picture of Malone. And it works.
Okay, Malone can get it, is what you're saying about your son. That's cool.
Yeah.
Your son can get it. All right.
He can get it.
He can get it.
Okay, I will reveal my last favorite, and I'll save my best for last. My third favorite show alongside Jury Duty and Challenge Rider Dies is Yellow Jackets season two. I think it did not stick the last third of the season, which is why I can in good conscience make it a best. That said,
in episode seven,
okay, no spoilers, thank you. The theorizing, the discussion, Darren, to your point, I was like, I hope I don't have plans on Friday so I can go home and watch Yellow Jackets as soon as it drops on demand. Like, I really like that show. I want to tread lightly here, Brandy, for your benefit. I hope it rebounds a little bit in its third season. Really, I think it was...
It's got to answer some fucking questions. That's what it's got to fucking do.
Well, it's answered some. It has answered some and has left others unanswered. What I think my biggest issue is that I love everything about the 90s in the wilderness. I think all of that shit is done so fucking well. I don't love how they handled a lot of the present day stuff, especially in the back half. And that's all I'll say, Brandy. I don't want to go any further, but I think that is something they need to rectify a little bit. But I have high hopes for season three. I will still be obsessed with it when it comes back. I love the music. I love the needle drops. I love the acting. I just think they kind of wrote themselves into a few corners, and I got to figure that out a little bit going into season three. But that's second season are well tough, cast. Especially after
very like, well cast.
That first season was such a absolute rocket ship that season two was always not going to reach that level. So I feel good moving forward, and it was one of my favorite shows of the year so far.
Well, I had Yellow Jackets down as I'm just feeling very underwhelmed so far. And I was so excited for it to come back. You know that like my whole thing with like I was gonna wait to watch it so that I could like get the 30 days free of Showtime and like binge it. But guess what, guys? I'm in the Television Academy, so I get all the episodes.
There you go. I didn't have to
get it. But anyway, so now I've been catching up, and I just like, I don't know, like I was so excited to like see adult Van, and you know, I've only seen like a couple episodes with her, and she's fine. It's fine. I don't like Lottie is like too weird, and I guess we're gonna see Lottie's where that problem. Goes.
Lottie's a bit of a problem. They haven't figured it out.
Have, like Lottie being like so extra, and like I was into the Christina Ricci, Elijah Wood. Like I needed him in this with his terrible wardrobe. You know, I've never liked Jeff.
I know he's weird. He's weirdly loyal, like to a fault.
He's so funny. I'm interested to learn how equally fucked up he is to stay with Shauna, because Shauna, we were learning, is incredibly fucked up. Or went through some very, very, very serious trauma and had to do some real fucked up shit. So I want to learn more about what their relationship has been. Like, I think there's a lot of grounds in the middle years in between Wilderness and when we pick up the story 25 years later. Like, let's see Shauna and Jeff in their mid-20s, in their 30s. You know, when they're debating whether to get pregnant, like
we're at the wedding.
Right. And that's the last we saw was wedding. Like there's a huge swath that I think they could play with that'll maybe bring some better returns. But yeah, Brandy, what else is on your list? You have one more?
I didn't have another best, but I did have one more favorite. I had four favorites. My other favorite is Love is Blind. Season 4, I think it is.
5, I think it is. The reunion didn't kill it for you?
Oh yeah, I didn't even bother watching the reunion. And the thing is, it's like it was an almost favorite, but then I was like, no, I really, really did enjoy that. And I did like, I feel like the measure for me with Love is Blind is like, how much do I like social media stalk the Love is Blind people? And like, I went very deep on everyone in this cast. Like I'm looking at brothers, sisters, friends. Like I need to know everything.
Please tell me you hate Vanessa Lachey as the host, though, with Nick.
She's the worst. Her and Nick Lachey. They're really bad. I did not watch the reunion, but I was excited to see the reunion. But then I heard that everything, I wasn't home when it was going to be on. And then I heard everything that was going wrong. So I was like, oh, well, not watching.
Yeah, it glitched out.
I felt similarly after the fact, even though I binged it, like didn't make my list, but man, I had a lot of fun with, and we talked a lot about Traitors. The Traitors was super fun. And that was
Traitors
really
is my last Traitors is my last favorite. Traitors is my last favorite. I watched the Australian version and the UK version. So I was like hooked. And I know some of these people. So that's also what's weird. And like the funny thing is my girlfriend's really good friends with Kate Chastain. And so while Kate was filming it, she would tell Nadine things. And Nadine would be like, oh, Kate is blah, blah, blah. And I was like, do not tell me anything. I was like, I don't want to know. Don't tell me how it is. I don't want to. Like, she's friends with Brazza. I was like, don't say anything. And Nadine was like, it's really good gossip. And I was like, absolutely not. I was like, I don't read Reality Steve. I don't look at spoilers. I was like, I want to watch the show fresh. I think Traitors, even though I had a little bit of a problem, and I sort of get it now with Alan Cumming being like, once more into the breach, dear friends. And he was like so campy. And I everything like was like, you know, the thing is you didn't even need the challenges. Like that was the least interesting part of the show. You didn't need the competitions to earn money. It stunk. It didn't involve any drama. I didn't care about any of that. But the, you know, Ceri in that first season, I loved her on Survivor. You know, I know Ari from The Bachelor. I just thought it was so well cast. I thought it was brilliant. Even though you could binge it, I was obsessed with the show. It is absolutely my favorite. I cannot wait for it to come back.
You guys told me.
Yes. Oh, you need to watch Brandy. You're going to love
it. Watch it, Brandy. It's got a little bit of the traitor. I mean, the challenge. It's got a little of The Bachelor. Like, watch it.
Yeah. I will say, so now knowing you're going to watch it, I don't want to spoil anything, but speaking of reunions, this was a weird one where Andy hosted this reunion on Peacock like a month after the fact, because it all come out and then they realized, oh, we have something, so let's film this reunion. It came out later, so I was like, am I even gonna appreciate this reunion? Guess what? I still did because of that very cathartic moment at the end, Darren, that literally had me in tears. I was sobbing at the end of that reunion.
We texted about this.
I will say. Oh, it broke me.
That's the thing about like Love is Blind reunions and even like challenge reunions in a way that Housewives, like they bring drama, they bring storyline. Like reunions can change the next season. And sometimes the way like Survivor and competition shows don't really do that because like when you're in a reality show, you're like, I want to find out what's going on. Vanderpump reunion, Summer House reunion. When you're in a competition show, the drama is really like it's artificial kind of drama because it's always like, well, I want to win the money. So I'm going to do anything I can to win the money. Like there's not really any drama to settle, but no spoilers for you, Brandy. There is a moment, and I know exactly what Dan's talking about. And it is a moment with Ceri, who's one of the people on the show, who's like a bit, she's like basically the greatest person to ever play Survivor who has never won. She's just an amazing, she's very, very tactical.
Brandy, Brian Moylan talked about Ceri. She was the only one to get eliminated without a single vote against her because of all of the like immunities and yada, yada. That she was that example that he made of like, she should have won at least once, but like for whatever reason, like game shenanigans.
She's the best player to have ever played. Yeah. And so she's really, really good on the traders and she knows how to kind of like call trust and also play the game. And there's this moment in the reunion that you really want to see. Like for Andy reunions, there wasn't really a lot of drama, like outside of this moment, the reunion didn't really hit for me. But it is kind of worth it to see this like hug kind of between these two people. It's cathartic and you need to see it because it is so real because you have reality stars and you have like real people, you know, and it's real for them. And these relationships, they don't know how to be on TV. And so like, it's just very interesting. I highly recommend. Highly, highly, highly.
So on that note of catharsis, I can't say that this show gave me a level of catharsis, although it was certainly baked into some of it. But my last best show, and I think, is this the last show we're talking about? Everyone else has done their yep. full list, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The last show on my list, the best thing, one of the best shows I've seen, and also just had its series finale, but a couple days ago, is Barry. Barry absolutely floored me specifically with how it ended. And I don't want to get too deep into spoilers. Brady, I don't know if you're current. Darren, I don't know if you watch.
I am current. In fact, on my list, I put down enjoyed Barry. It's definitely like I would say in my top 10 shows of the year for sure. It was.
Yeah, it's in my top six. There's something about what Bill Hader is doing with TV that is just unlike anything I've seen. He doesn't give a shit about the main character he portrays. I mean, he does. It's his character, but like Barry is not a good person. Barry is self-centered, a prick, has ruined the lives of everyone around him. And that's just the way it is. And the story mm-hmm. bears out in that way. And I think it was just so well done. It was a divisive season. There's a bit of a time jump, not to give too much away, that I think was divisive for a lot of people. I didn't mind it. I think it added new layers of complexity. I think it continued the story in a really effective way. It still felt like Barry at the end. But I have thought about Barry. I mean, on the same night, we had the Succession and Barry series finales. Like, I don't know if there will be a more consequential.
You watched them both on the same night?
No, I had to split them up. I did Succession, and then the next day I did Barry.
It's got to be too much for these watchers. Yeah, it was just like too much good TV to watch.
It was incredible, though. Like, an embarrassment of riches and... It's like everyone is talking about writing about Succession. I'm like, this is great. This is great. But where's the Barry coverage? Like, I'm actively seeking out more Barry coverage because I was that wowed by it. I thought it was excellent and so just well done. He's doing like Bill Hader directed all the episodes of this final season. There are some shots. There are some setups. There are some moments, performances, decisions made that I'm just like, this is elite. This is next level. I can't wait for what he does next. I fucking loved Barry. It blew me away. One of the best shows of the year.
Yeah. I always really like Barry. I'm always a little like, it can be just like so graphically violent. Like, but there's no show to it. You know what I mean? It's not like we're like not glorified at all. It's just like, oh my God, that was absolutely insane. And I would be traumatized for life if I saw something like that happen in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. Darren, do you watch Barry? Have you seen it?
I don't, but it's kind of been one of those shows that, like, I've talked about it. I know how kind of great it is because you don't expect Bill Hader to be in this, like, comedy drama, the way that they kind of blur these lines.
Yeah, by the end, it's mostly drama, by the way. It is a dark,
yeah,
dark
and that's
show.
Really, and that's really what I've heard, and you don't kind of expect Bill Hader to be that, but I have heard so many great things. Barry and Billions are kind of two shows that I've just heard. People are like, just watch it, like, just see it and watch it, and it hasn't been on my radar, so... If, you know, we get Brandy into Traitors and all those shows, I will watch Barry and I'll watch Dave. And this is why the show was great, because we all just share our love of television.
And those are both half hours.
Yeah, Barry, Dave.
Oh,
yeah,
Barry's only half hour? Oh, I could crush that in a day. Okay.
Well, you think you're going to want a mental break. You're not going to want to do the whole thing and it's going to play that much.
Fair enough.
I have to say that, like, I feel like the first season of Barry I watched on the way to Real Screen, on the way back from Real Screen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first season was a much funnier show. Like, it started as a comedy, like a dark comedy, and then it turned into like a dark show with some humor by the end. But so, wow. Okay. Quick recap. My best shows of the year so far are Succession, Shrinking, and Barry. My favorite shows of the year so far are Jury Duty, Yellow Jackets, and The Challenge, Ride or Dies. Brandy, what do you got on your list so far?
My best shows of the year are Succession and Vanderpump Rules. My favorites are Dave, Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, Love is Blind, and also The Challenge, Ride or Dies.
Yeah.
My three best were Jury Duty, The Last of Us, and Succession. And my three favorites were Traitors, Challenge, Ride or Dies, and Vanderpump Rules.
Brandy, before we sign off, and I know, Darren, you got to jump, so this won't be long, but I do feel compelled to mention, as the rule person, the rules czar, if you will, you have two shows in your best and four in your favorites. You sure you can't bump one of those up to a best and follow
Brandy,
the rules of the podcast here?
There is one that can go into my best, and it's not in my favorite, but it was in my almost, and I think I can go ahead and just put it into best. And that is the newest season of Top Chef.
Oh, I'm glad we mentioned it.
Wow.
Fuck yeah.
Wow.
So good.
Wow. Some Bravo Spoiler love alert. Today, Brandy. Some Bravo love between Summer House, Top Chef, and VPR. Shit. All right.
It. Brandy, I'm so glad you mentioned this. I didn't put in my best or favorites only because I think they're mismanaging the location of London. They've been inside the kitchen for like 4 weeks straight. I'm like, show me fucking London. You're in London. Mm. That said, though, so Darren, I don't know if you know this. I've been in a Top Chef fantasy league for the last couple seasons.
Didn't I try to get you in? I tried to get you in the finale, but we were filming. I can't say where, I think, but I texted you about it. But remember, you were like, are they filming?
Revealed.
And
the finale's in Paris. They revealed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure where we were, but I remember trying to get you into that. You're in a fantasy league?
I'm in a fantasy league. And not only that, I've drafted Brandy and we're now co-managing a team that is doing terrible. We only have one person left in the competition, but he still could win it. And we won't have the points to carry it. Maybe it'll still bring us some pride, but it's been so fun. And this season has been great. And just at the level of cooking has been next, like absolutely like beyond anything I've seen from a cast before. It's really incredible. So
that's a really well done show. That's a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some other honorable mentions almost made it for me. Speaking of a long running great show, Survivor season 44. I just really loved that final three.
Really,
I thought that was a strong season.
Really good.
Mrs. Davis was very intrigued by on Peacock, the new Damon Lindelof show. I thought it was interesting, but didn't make the cut. Let's see. Oh, and Beef was right there with The Last of Us, is like right on the edge looking. We didn't talk a lot about Beef. Mired in a little bit of scandal with that one actor, but I thought Beef was really, really good. And if I had an extra slot, I'd probably make it into a best or a favorite. It was great.
Beef was, I think, the best scripted show I've ever seen, as like kind of this psychological take on anger, which I thought was really, really good, and how it just can kind of manifest. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was a really good take on what the public and Twitter really does, of just like absolute road rage at all times. So, exactly. And how sometimes when we're angry, like, we lose all humility. So I thought Beef was very, very good.
Yeah. Also, Daisy Jones and the Six.
Liked it.
Didn't love it.
I liked
Music
it.
Music was fun.
Music was good.
We played in the office a lot. It was good.
Poker Face
Brandy,
was
anything
good.
Else close? Poker Face was good. Yeah, that was pretty good.
It was good.
I like Poker Face. I watched one episode, though. I am really loving, haven't finished it yet, but I love the new Party Down. I love that show when it was out before. It was one of my faves, and I was happy to see it came back. And it's a fun watch.
That would be a good counterpoint to Barry, of like a less brutal look at the industry and what happens when you don't make it, you know?
Yeah.
All right, friends. I think we did it. Darren, thank you so much for taking
Thanks
the time
for having
in between me. Your whirlwind travel schedule. We really, really appreciate it. There was just so much good TV, and we could think of no one better to come on and shoot the shit about it all. But I think that's about a wrap for us for now. We'll be back with more interview episodes and a couple of fun, interesting surprises and expansions of the BFF formula and format. So stay tuned for more in the coming months.
You can find us on Instagram at TVBFF Podcast, and you can also email us your six at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. And Darren, where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, even though I don't tweet, and Facebook, but at Carpe Darren, DARYN.
That'll do it for now. Until next time. Bye, friends.
Bye, friend.
Bye. You've arrived here.